Hi everyone, it's me, Sandy Cruz of Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. For years now, I've been bringing to you conversations about wellness from experts from all over the world. Whether it be suggestions in how you can age better, biohacking, alternative wellness, these are conversations to help you live your best life. I want to live a long, healthy, and vibrant life. Never mind all those stigmas that as we reach midlife and beyond, we're just going to shrivel up and die with some horrible disease. Always remember, balanced living works. I really look forward to this season. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. Today with me, I have Eric Johnson of Sigrid Stabilizer. And we are going to talk all about metabolic syndrome. We're going to get into all the details about what you can do, things that might happen to you that are warning signs. But I'm going to tell you guys that they approximate that 50% of Americans now have metabolic syndrome. And remember, this is 50% of people who are aware. So this podcast is actually designed for you to learn about it and understand, because as we age, our risks simply get higher. I do have a discount code for Sigrid Blood Glucose Stabilizer. They are my podcast sponsor, and I have been affiliated with them for quite a few months now. I love their product, and I can honestly say it helps. If you're worried about your glucose levels and you're trying to eat well and healthy, whole, real foods, and that glucose number just doesn't come down, that insulin number is not in a healthy range, you have a higher HbA1c, you're going to want to give this a try. Because one thing I can say personally, it is my own personal account. In October 2022, I reached 6.1 HbA1c. And what can I tell you? I'm a nutritionist. This isn't supposed to happen. I eat healthy. I lowered my own HbA1c myself through diet, nutrition, and then I had a few really, really, let's just say, challenges for myself. And I wanted to get to about a 5.2, 5.3 HbA1c. I ended up getting to, I think in December last year, I was at 5.7 or 5.8, something like that. And then in January, I checked and I had been using Sigrid Stabilizer. I got down to a 5. This is pretty amazing. So I really want you to listen carefully. I want you to investigate, look at the studies. SigridStabilizer.com has white papers. They have all of the research behind their product, the safety, the efficacy. We get into all of that. So please listen. All the information will also be in my show notes. Definitely go and follow me on all of my social media platforms. It's Sandy K Nutrition everywhere. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I have a private Facebook group. I'm even on Substack. Watch this entire video on Rumble and follow me there. Yes, I'm on YouTube, but I'm trying to have more focus on Rumble. Also, thank you everyone who has already purchased my Essential Thyroid Guide. It is out now. This is an amazing guide, if I do say so myself, because it's only 53 pages. There are pages for you to write notes for yourself so that you can take this information to your own physician that cares for you as it relates to thyroid, to actually be a partner in your own wellness. Thyroid is one of the most underdiagnosed, misdiagnosed illnesses, and there's a lot that you can do to optimize your thyroid health. So please go. It is available on Amazon everywhere. Just search Essential Thyroid Guide and it will come out. And if you've already purchased it, please go back to Amazon and give me a review with a few kind words, because it really just helps me to be found in this massive world of Amazon. Also, do that for my podcast, please. Wherever you are listening, please ensure that you hit that subscribe button, because that immediately makes you part of my community and you will get my podcasts each and every week. You will not miss an important episode. And then, you know, it also shows support to all of this free content that I bring to you each and every week. And it also helps me to secure amazing guests like Dr. Eric Johnson this week. So do that for me. And now I am going to cut on through to this amazing podcast recording with Dr. Eric Johnson of Sigrid Stabilizer. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. Today with me, I have Dr. Eric Johnston. He is a PhD and Chief Technology Officer at Sigrid Therapeutics, and he is specialized in the design and production of synthetic mesoporous silica. Dr. Johnston obtained his Master of Science degree in 2008 at the Department of Organic Chemistry, Stockholm University in Sweden. Dr. Johnston was engaged in chemical synthesis of glycosylated proteins that play important roles in modern cancer treatment. And today we are going to be having a discussion on the use of glucose stabilizers and this ever-growing issue of metabolic syndrome, metabolic dysfunction. It's becoming a big problem in our world. I know this all too well. I am also a certified metabolic balance coach, as well as a registered holistic nutritionist. I see this all the time. Now, one thing I do want to say is whatever we do discuss here is not medical advice. I want to make that clear, because we are simply providing education and resources for you to take back to your own practitioner that is qualified to discuss this with you. So with that, welcome, Eric. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandy. It's so nice of you having me on your show.
Yeah, I am excited because this is a really big problem. And I'm one of the cases, but you know, we'll get into that. I really want to know what got you into this field that you're in right now.
Well, it's actually a pretty interesting story. So when I was younger, I've always wanted to become a doctor. Right, that was my goal. However, I fell into sports during my teens. So I started competing in Greco-Roman wrestling on a very high level. And with that, I ended up training four times a day. And I kind of, you know, set school aside a little bit and focused on that. However, when I got a little bit older, that urge came back when my wrestling career was over, because sadly I dislocated my shoulder 8 times when I was 18. And you know, I had dreams of going to the Olympics, but it never worked out for me. But coming back to school, I realized I still want to do something good. I really want to help people. I like working with people. I'm a pretty social person. So I started studying chemistry. Specifically organic chemistry. And I started that in 2004 at Stockholm University, as you mentioned in the beginning. And during that time, initially, I actually worked on different types of oxidation methods. So we were trying to reproduce or make create an artificial photosynthesis, right? So in one way, extract energy from the sun. Mm. And that was super interesting. And that's the reason I was working with different types of catalysis. So I was working with these different types of mesoporous materials to try to stabilize these different types of catalysts that we were working with. So that's my background when it really comes to mesoporous silica and different types of mesoporous structures. However, when I finished my PhD, I went to New York and I joined the group of Professor Daniel Samyshevsky at Memorial Sloan Cancer Institute. And he was working with chemical synthesis of different types of larger protein structures. And what that means is that what you're trying to do with this is that you're trying to take something that Mother Nature already created, so different types of proteins within your body, and you try to, through a chemical way, try to optimize them. So maybe become a little bit more efficient, more stable. And here I was working with two different types of proteins. They're called GM-CSF and G-CSF. And these are two proteins that the body creates. And they are relevant in cancer treatment because they increase the production of white blood cells. And this is something that is very important in chemotherapy because chemotherapy is something that is used to treat cancer. However, chemotherapy doesn't just kill cancer cells. It actually kills your own cells.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important for the patient to recover as fast as possible in between therapies. And this is where this protein becomes relevant. You give this to cancer patients and the production of white blood cells increase. I found that chemistry to be super interesting. So I actually brought that chemistry back to Sweden. And in Sweden, I started my own research group. And I've always dreamt of working with applied science, not just building my own CV, right? I want to help people, as I said, from start. And I felt that by trying to get products out on the market, I would help people. And that's how I came in contact with Professor Tore Bengtsson, which is one of the co-founders of Sigrid Therapeutics. He introduced me to Sana, which is the CEO and the second co-founder of Sigrid Therapeutics. And we met over a lunch. And following that, I became Sigrid's advisor and started working more with Sigrid. Since then, that was 2015, the company has evolved and I have evolved with the company, so to speak. So first advisor, then part-time CTO, full-time CTO, and today CTO/CEO, we're still a quite small company. And what we focus on is actually metabolic health.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, this is a very big problem worldwide. And the vision we have is that no one should fall sick with chronic lifestyle diseases.
That's amazing. You've had quite the history. I love it. And I know a lot about Memorial Sloan Kettering. They are world renowned. Okay, let's first outline, because I think it's important for people to understand what is metabolic syndrome. What are the signs and the symptoms? Because honestly, my biggest thing, Eric, is that unless you pay attention, just these things can just hit you all of a sudden. And next thing you know, you have cardiovascular disease. Next thing you know, you have type 2 diabetes. So when we pay attention to these signs, we can be preventative and proactive with our health. So what are the signs and symptoms of metabolic syndrome? If you have trouble keeping weight off, I'm going to get you to stop right here and be sure to listen to what I have to say. It's estimated that more than 30% of individuals in the United States have symptoms of metabolic syndrome and metabolic dysfunction. And here's an even more interesting stat. 40% of Americans aged 18 to 44 probably have insulin resistance, but they don't even know it yet, meaning they haven't started the weight gain spiral yet. Insulin resistance is simply when that insulin doesn't come to the rescue anymore when it should to lower the glucose in your blood. And this can actually contribute to many diseases, including heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes. What you can do is watch every single morsel that goes into your mouth. But the facts are, a lot of people want to enjoy occasional treats and don't want to have those major glucose spikes. So I've got a solution for you. Sigrid Therapeutics has actually collaborated with leading scientists and global research partners, and they have a science-backed solution for you so that you can eat those treats now and again. I have always promoted balanced living, and trust me, I have also lived with issues with my metabolic function because I don't have a thyroid, but I also believe in celebratory meals. I am Eastern European. I love food. So I do believe in the 80-20 rule, but I don't want to ruin a good thing, which is I've really stabilized my HbA1c from a 6.1 in October 2022. And just recently, believe it or not, guys, I'm at a 5. And the way that I'm doing this is a mix of diet, lifestyle, as well as Sigrid Stabilizer. Sigrid Blood Glucose Stabilizer is an all-natural supplement, and it's specifically designed to help lower blood sugar levels, curb after-meal bloating. It keeps you feeling fuller for longer, and guess what? Weight loss, my friends. Try my code, SANDYK15. You will notice a difference. Go to SigridStabilizer.com and use my code SANDYK15, and all of this will be in the show notes.
Let's put it this way. So metabolic syndrome, right? That is, I would say it's a cluster of different conditions, right? And having a few of these different conditions will increase your risk of developing cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and getting a stroke. And usually it is 5 different conditions. One condition is increased body fat around your waist. Mm-hmm. And the other one is high blood pressure. Third one is high blood sugar. Then we have high serum triglycerides and also a low serum of high density lipoproteins, right? And if you have if you have more than 3 out of these 5, then you have a metabolic syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was actually just reading a stat about this, that in the United States, 1 in 3 have 3 or more of these symptoms. Mm. It's crazy. And, you know, I wonder why. Why is this? Because this is where my brain goes, Eric. I'm like, well, I don't get it. Like, because why is this happening? What's your take on that?
There's actually, I would say, 3 factors weighing into this, right? First of all, there's one factor that you can't control. So you have a genetic factor. Mm. You're born, you're given a certain type of cards in life. That is nothing you can change, right? Another thing is that as a population, we are getting older. And there is a relationship between age and metabolic disease, right? Third, well, that is the way we live. And sadly, you know, it's going the totally wrong direction. According to me, the human body is constructed to actually move and work. And we're not used to eating the way we're doing today, right? And our society has changed a lot, but our genetics has not changed. And our body hasn't changed in the same speed. We are more or less the same as we were, you know, 100,000 years ago. But I would say it's the diet consume and that we're not moving. We're sitting still too much.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we don't live in the day and age anymore where, like it used to be, where most people could grow their own food. So, you know, our food sources, and I say this to my kids all the time. I'm like, when I grew up, where I live right now, where I grew up, and I remember there being one McDonald's.
Yeah.
Right? And now you see a fast food restaurant at every single corner. And yeah, it's like we live in the land of if depending on where you live, of course, there are many countries that go without, that are starving, mm-hmm, poverty. But you look at North America in general, I think Europe's a little bit better, to be honest, than us. However, you look at us and there's like fast food everywhere. And even back then, like I'm a 1970s girl. I was born in the 70s. The fast food wasn't as bad then as it is now in terms of, you know, everything sprayed with glyphosate, factory farming, you know, all the garbage that's out there, Eric. I think that there's many factors like you outlined on why this happens, but it's pretty serious because the repercussions are serious. And the one thing I say, especially to women, because a lot of people who listen to my podcast are perimenopausal women or menopausal women, our hormones are also a factor. Unfortunately, when our estrogen declines at menopause, it can make us more insulin resistant. And that's a problem in and of itself. So you see a lot of menopausal women that have that midsection that just starts to grow. And that, I always tell people, do a waist to hip calculation, waist divided by hip. If you're a woman, it's got to be under 0.85. Easy, waist divided by hip. Smallest part of the waist, biggest part of the hip. Do a little division there and get your ratio. And if it's a one, you're at really big risk. And I tell women all the time, I'm like, put away the regular scale that tells you your pounds. Look at your body composition. Do you do that? I mean, I know that these scales are not, I don't know if you have that in Sweden. I'm sure you do, but there are these body composition scales. And really what I do is I say, look at the trends. They may not be exact like a DEXA scan, but at least you could see the trends on what's going on. And for me personally, in October 2022, I saw just like this waist go bigger. I'm like, what's going on? Next thing I knew, Eric, I always recommend, because my fasting glucose was always normal. This is what's interesting. Always normal, but my HbA1c was a 6.1, which was a pre-diabetic state. And I'm a nutritionist. So it can sneak up on you.
It certainly can. And I think, you know, through my time with Sigrid, we have gotten so much feedback when it comes to our supplement, the development of our medical device. Many comments that we get is like, why do we need this? Mm. You know, it's just to change your lifestyle. Just eat healthier and start moving. Well, sadly, that is not the case because there's a lot of factors working against people here. And what I can say, if that now was the case, right, then we wouldn't have the problems with metabolic diseases that we have today, you know, but it is hard. And then, as you said, it's really tough as just a normal person, say right now that you want to try to live healthier. But if you go into a supermarket, I mean, if you just look at the lobbying from all of these bigger companies when it comes to, let's just take sugar as an example, right? You have all the different types of sweets, different types of fast food. It's hard for people to actually get away and not be affected by it, right? So all the sweets are by the register, so you pick that up before you go. And as you said, there's fast food restaurants everywhere. And then we have the issue with, you know, not all people can actually afford to buy quality food, quality meats, grass-fed beef, and similar. It is expensive. So it is not that easy.
Yeah.
You know, but it is definitely a problem. And when it comes to metabolic disease, if we look at non-communicable diseases. So what I mean with that is diseases that do not spread and do not cause a quick acute infection. So we can look at diseases such as, well, diabetes is one, obesity is another, cancer is a third, and all of them, they are connected mm-hmm. to metabolic diseases, to diabetes. So that's where it all starts. So that is the foundation, the negative foundation. It's a bad foundation. But there's clear connections in between, say, metabolic diseases and Alzheimer's, metabolic diseases and cancer. And that's why I think it's such a big problem, because that's where it starts. And as you said, many people, they're not observative. They don't see it. It comes sneaking up on you, just as you said. And suddenly it's just there and you have it and you realize, oh my God, I'm actually really sick. I need to do something about this.
Yeah, and I will say the faster you can nip it in the bud, meaning get on it, the easier it's going to be. Meaning, as soon as I saw that, and of course, I've got my finger on the pulse, right? Like I'm always on any kind of health thing. And I understand that not everybody is like me, but if you've got somebody who advocates for your best health, and that in some countries, maybe it is your general physician who does regular blood work. In some countries like Canada, doing full panel blood work doesn't always happen anymore. It's not great. It depends on your physician. So you've got to find another practitioner, or you've got to find a way. Now we have home testing too. Yeah. So you have to have some knowledge and take accountability for your health. Yeah. You cannot rely on someone else to do it for you. And I say this all the time, Eric. No one's going to tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, Sandy, oh, you know, unless I have to say, unless I did the testing through my doctor, in which case they would probably recommend like metformin. Like, do you know much about these diabetes drugs?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, let's get into that on, because there are different ways. And I mean, I'm not here to tell you do not take medications, because first of all, I can't tell you that. That's between you and your physician. And I have to live on certain medications, but there's certain medications, like I don't have a thyroid, so I have no choice. I gotta live on some drugs. I have no choice. Mm-hmm. However, the less medications you take, the better off you'll be without symptoms, without possible nutrient deficiencies, because many of these drugs will leach out nutrients from the body and people don't even realize that. So, you know, let's get into that, Eric. What drugs are available for things like type 2 diabetes or insulin resistance?
Right. So first, I just want to say I fully agree with you there. I think I'm not against drugs, because I think it's, yeah, you know, there's the right place and the right time for everything.
I agree.
Right? But in many cases, and this is the issue that you brought up earlier, right? And the same issue we see here in Sweden. So if you go to your doctor, just for an example, there what they have is 8 minutes per patient.
Same.
So they should establish a relationship with this patient, right? They should understand what the issue is, and then they should try to solve all of that in 8 minutes. That is nothing. That's impossible. It's an impossible task, right? Which means that what happens is you come into a doctor, they don't have time to understand the background, the root cause of the issue, actually. And what they do is that they prescribe you something, more or less, because they just want to get rid of you. And here I think this is a big issue when it comes to diabetes, when it comes to depression and other diseases, right? But in Sweden and Europe, what actually happens is, say now, that you go to your doctor and you realize, such in your case, that you are pre-diabetic. In 8 minutes, they can't do much. What they will give you is a sheet of paper where it says more or less that you should change your lifestyle. You should change your diet and you should start exercising.
Which is not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing, right?
No, absolutely. It is not a bad thing.
But guess what, Eric? I was doing that. I've been working with a personal trainer for 5.5 years. So there you go.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had to say that because like you were saying at the beginning, sometimes it's not enough.
No.
Right. Sorry. No. I had to say that.
No worries. But I mean, so that's what happens when I'm pre-diabetic. So more or less, that's just a ticking bomb because they can't do anything and they can't recommend supplements, which yeah. I don't understand why, but they just don't. Right. So they're more or less waiting you up because they know roughly 95% of the people that's diagnosed with pre-diabetes, they will come back sooner or later with type 2 diabetes.
Yes.
And once you get type 2 diabetes, well, then they will put you on metformin, right? So that's the most common drug used for type 2 diabetes nowadays. Most likely, this will be GLP-1s in the future. But that's what they put you on in Sweden, first of all, metformin. And diabetes is a progressive disease, right? So if you don't change your lifestyle, well, it will get worse and worse over time, even though you are on medication. So what usually happens is that they give you metformin. And when that is not enough, they will give you another drug on top of that, and then a third drug on top of that. And in the end, you will end up using insulin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right?
So
that's what it looks like in Sweden.
Right? Yeah, I think that's similar to here. What is metformin? How does it work?
So metformin is an oral drug, right? And that you take, and usually it comes on 500 milligram tablets, and usually you take it together with a meal 2 to 3 times a day. And what it actually does, it lowers your blood glucose levels by reducing the amount of glucose released from the liver.
Mm.
Right? And it also helps your muscle tissue and your liver to actually absorb glucose from the bloodstream. But to be really honest, there's still a lot of debate when it comes to the mode of action of metformin. So metformin was actually launched on the market before they understood how it actually really works. And they're still not really sure about all the mechanism of action when it comes to metformin.
And there's a lot of side effects with metformin, isn't there?
There is a lot of side effects. So my father, he's a type 2 diabetic. Nowadays, he started as a pre-diabetic. And we came to Sweden when I was 8. He was working the restaurant business during nighttime, and he was working in a factory during daytime. So he was working a lot, not sleeping enough, and it was very hard for him to control his diet. Mm-hmm. So during my lifetime, I've seen how this progression occurs, right? So first pre-diabetic, then type 2 diabetic, and then he ended up having a heart attack. And following that, nowadays he can hardly walk because he's very overweight, right? Mm. But he doesn't want to take his metformin. And why? Because he gets really sick when he takes it. So he actually had an issue of when he took his metformin, he actually started throwing up a lot. And there's a lot of other people that have gastrointestinal issues with it. I know a lot of people taking metformin that they feel that they have a lack of energy, right? They feel weak and tired. So there is a lot of side effects. And what they say is roughly around 30% of diabetics that are put on metformin can't handle the side effects.
That's pretty high, 30%. Yeah. And yes, I've heard of that. And it's interesting because I'm in this space of longevity. Mm. And some longevity experts talked about just taking metformin for longevity. And I know people who went on it and had to go off of it because of, you know, extreme diarrhea. And, you know, sure, I think it can help you with weight loss as well. But what are the repercussions of that?
right? No, but I think that is a pretty discuss. It's something that was very trendy before.
Yeah.
And there are very famous podcasters that have been recommending metformin. But I think that a lot of people are coming to, they're having a second opinion about that,
mm-hmm.
right? One person would be Peter Attia, right? He talked a lot about metformin before.
And yes.
He was on metformin, but he has stopped taking it. He does not any longer recommend using metformin for longevity and so on and so forth. And it does actually interfere with muscle development.
Mm.
So from that perspective, it's not good. And you are into longevity, right? So you know how important it is to keep your muscle mass.
100%.
When you start getting older. Yeah.
Yeah. That we have a lot of things, unfortunately, that go against us as soon as we hit midlife, and it's harder to maintain that muscle. So, man, like for me, bones and muscles, like I don't care how much I weigh, as long as my waist circumference is good, I don't even care about BMI, body mass index, because it doesn't take into account your muscle. It's based on your weight. And so I'm like, I don't care how much you weigh. What's your waist to hip circumference or ratio? What's your bone mass? What's your body composition? What's your visceral fat? That's another big one, right, Eric? Visceral, you know, so my visceral fat back then, you know, different scales, I think they use like a different metric. And I was like kind of on the cusp of, I forget what the measurement was. Put it this way, I'm in a healthy range now. I wasn't before.
Yeah.
But it has different, depending on your scale. So I use a Renfo scale. I have another one called FitTrack. I have a couple of them. Renfo is pretty cheap here in North America. You can get it on Amazon. It's great. You have it on an app. It's so easy. And there's no reason why people at my age shouldn't have one. And I'm not saying that for you to get some sort of a weird, you know, obsession with it. It's just to kind of track it through different phases of your life. It's so important. And what about Ozempic? I mean, do you know much about Ozempic, Eric?
It has its place, right? And it's clearly shown that for morbid obese people, it is of a benefit initially. It does help a lot with weight loss, right? But it definitely comes with its side effects too. And when it comes to GLP-1s, I mean, I think it's very important to realize that, and it's not very much, they don't talk very much about that, not yet, but it will come, right? Is that more or less half of the weight that you lose is muscle mass.
Yeah, I heard that.
And that is actually a disaster, right? Because if you're losing muscle mass, what happens there is that you're actually reducing your metabolism, right? So if you now decide to come off this, right? Okay, you lost weight, but you've also lost muscle mass, right? Which means that you have lowered your metabolism. And that means that, you know, your metabolism is lower. And once you get off it, even though you eat less than you did before you went on it, you will gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing. So you see this yo-yo effect, right?
Yeah.
People come off it, they bounce right back up. So maybe they lost 10 pounds, right? And then they get off it and they gain 20 pounds instead, which is very negative.
Yeah.
But then I think the most important part and where this actually comes in and where I think this will be a big discussion in the future is actually the muscle wasting, the muscle loss. And that is back to longevity, right? Specifically in an older population. People over 50, which, you know, it's not that easy to put on muscle mass, they want to keep all of their muscle mass, right? Because if we look at, you know, biggest cause of death, right? If we don't look at cardiovascular disease or cancer in the future, is will be based on, say, people falling, right? And hurting themselves and they get hospitalized. And that's why people are dying. So for longevity, this is going to be an big issue, and I think it's going to be something that will be vastly discussed in the future. A lot of people already talk about it, but I think that is the the main and the biggest side effect when it comes to GLP-1s.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Excellent point. Because I do agree with you that there is a place for that. You know, if you are really obese, that's a place for maybe you should start. You know, but you see this trend right now, Eric, and I feel it's almost scary. You know, you see all these celebrities and they call it Ozempic face, right? They're calling it Ozempic face, where they're and you're going to laugh at me, but you know, one of my guilty pleasures is watching The Real Housewives. I do. I love it. I don't know if you get it in Sweden, but I love it. And then all of a sudden this season, everyone came back skinny. All of these women, I'm like, what's going on? Anyway, I find it very fascinating because I say this to women all the time. And I don't know if you know who Dr. Richard Johnson is. He wrote a few books. He's American. He's written a few books, Nature Wants Us to Be Fat. He's written a lot. He's done a lot of incredible studies on sugar and what sugar does in the body. And he said something really interesting, and it kind of speaks to what you were talking about, frailty. How really, as we age, we don't want to be skinny. I don't want to be skinny. I don't want that. I want to be fit. I want to be metabolically healthy and strong with a healthy, you know, operating system, let's just say. So it's not about being skinny. And he did, I think he did some sort of a study where he talked about BMI. I know I said I'm not a big fan of BMI, but he's saying if you're just a little bit over that range that is average, those people tend to live longer. Because, so remember we were talking about muscle, how that's not calculated. It's probably because they have a higher muscle mass. And so they weigh a little bit more, but they're not in the overweight, like obese category. So, you know, I want everyone to hear this, especially women who go on these diets that muscle, that result in muscle wasting. It's scary, actually.
It is. And when it comes to muscle wasting, right, and this is something that's shown in an elderly population too, the older you get, the more protein you actually need because the body is less efficient at taking proteins up and utilizing it, right? And this is, I don't want to rack down too much on Ozempic.
Yeah.
But, you know, we work with a lot of people and there's a lot of people we know too, right, that they start taking Ozempic. And the issue here is that they're not changing their diet. So usually what happens is that people that get on Ozempic, they don't have a very good diet, right?
Right.
And then they get on Ozempic, right? And they're still on the same bad diet. They're just eating less.
Yes.
Right? Or some people, they don't eat at all, right? And when, you know, when you're full, you don't feel like eating, you don't have an urge of actually eating proteins. The body has an urge of something else. It wants sugar, right? Because that's the fastest energy source you can get. So what we do see is a lot of people, they don't eat their food. They don't eat, you know, good meals, but they eat sweets all the time instead, because that's what the body is urging. It needs energy, right?
Yeah.
Because they are such a low calorie intake. So instead of eating healthy meals, right, including protein, good fats, maybe a little less of the carbohydrates. Carbohydrates is the only thing that they're consuming. So they're missing out on the good fats and they're missing out on the proteins, which is the most important, right? Because there's no essential carbohydrates. There isn't. We can go without carbohydrates.
Right,
but
there's
essential amino acids and there's essential fatty acids that the body can produce that we need.
Yes.
So that's one of the biggest issues, and that relates in the muscle loss. And that is going to be a problem.
Yeah, yeah. So let's shift gears a little bit because I have been obviously talking with you guys for a few months now. I have been using, so I want to make this clear to everyone who's listening. I went about reversing the issues I was encountering systematically. So First, I lost body fat in the right way, in a metabolically healthy way. I lost 4% total body fat. Then I did some of my own assessment. I found out that I had some low minerals. So balancing my minerals. So I was low in chromium. Chromium is really important for blood sugar regulation. I actually got from a 6.1 HbA1c down to a 5.6, which is good, right? I did that through supplementation, diet. I always exercise. So that was always part of my routine. Then in comes Sigrid's glucose stabilizer. So this is where I want to take it to the next level, meaning I have a goal of about, I'm going to say 5.2 HbA1c. That's kind of where I feel like I would really, really be optimized. And I'm using Sigrid because, first of all, I have absolutely no symptoms. Second of all, it's not a drug. And it is a supplement, and we'll get into that. But I would love for you to talk to me about Sigrid's technology.
Absolutely. I just want to start with saying that I think that, I mean, you've done a fantastic journey. And when we look at diabetes, I think it's important to do exactly what you said. You have to catch it early, right? Because you can reverse pre-diabetes.
Yeah.
And if you're an early stage type 2 diabetic, that can also be reversed.
Yeah.
However, I mean, if you've gone too far with this disease, you come to a certain stage where it's not reversible anymore, right? So I think it's very important that you catch this as soon as possible and start working, as you said, in the right way. You try to do it strategically. You try to lose weight, right? And you do it in a healthy fashion. No crash diets where you lose all of your muscle and then gain the weight back.
Yes.
And this is, of course, easier said than done, right? And as I said, it's so easy for people to say, well, just change your lifestyle. Just change your diet. Just change the way you live. Start exercising. It's not that easy for people. So that's where we see that we come in at our product, right? And that's what we have. So we have developed glucose stabilizer. We have also developed a medical device that is still in clinical trial, right? And this clinical trial will be finished in the middle of this year, right? So the product will most likely come to the market in 2025. But what we have developed and what you were talking about, so we have developed a platform technology, right, that is able to treat different types of metabolic symptoms, right? And our first product in line is for the treatment, or I wouldn't say treatment, it's for the help and prevention of prediabetes and type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It also has a weight lowering effect. But what it is, so we have designed special mesoporous silica particles that you were talking about during my introduction. And what this is small silica particles that has small holes in them. So if you visualize, say, a sea sponge, right? You see something in front of you that is round. It has very small, tiny holes. And in those holes, I mean, water and nutrients are absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly how our product works. Like it's micron-sized particles, right, that you consume. And these small holes that these micron-sized particles consist of are tailored to absorb digestive enzymes. And specifically, two types of digestive enzymes, amylase and lipase. And amylase is the digestive enzyme that breaks down carbohydrates. And lipase is the digestive enzymes that break down fats. So what happens is that when you take our product together with a meal, what happens is that it passes down into your stomach and then into your small intestines. And then in your small intestines, these digestive enzymes are released. Our product pick up a fraction of these digestive enzymes, which translates into carbohydrates and fats breaking down more slowly in your intestines and to a less extent. So we're converting fast carbs to slow carbs, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have a lower uptake of carbohydrates and fats into your bloodstream.
Okay. So a lot of things to kind of dig into there.
Yeah, sorry. Maybe I went too
fast. No. I just want to make sure everyone gets. So The first thing I'm going to say is that, you know, for me, anytime I take anything into my body, and everyone should do this, is I assess, okay, people, I did take a course in research when I went back to college. So I know what is an applicable study, what isn't, you know, whether it's biased or not. But in general, you can do this yourself. So I researched silica, which is a mineral. And I want everyone to be sure that it is not to be compared to nanoparticles, because some research out there indicates that silica nanoparticles could negatively affect the kidney function, correct?
Yes.
Whereas this is not nanoparticles. This is micron sized, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
that is correct.
Micron is bigger than the nano? Can you explain?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So let me go into this. So
yeah.
First of all, I want to say that so silica is one of the most abundant minerals on the planet, right? And there's two types of silica that actually exists. There's something called quartz, which is crystalline silica. And then there's amorphous silica. And what has been shown in literature, right, is that one of these forms are toxic. The other one is not, right? And what you have read about is silica nanoparticles consistent of quartz. And they are nanoparticles, right? Which means that they are very, very small and they can be systemically absorbed.
Okay.
So you were talking about us not being nanoparticles. And yes, that is the case. And that is very important.
Yes.
So we were specifically aware of this when we started designing our technology, when we started working on it. And this is why they are micron sized. So they are more than 1,000 times bigger than nanoparticles. So that is the difference in between the size. And we have done internal studies, and there is also a lot of studies done in literature where they show that if you consume micron-sized particles, they will not be systemically absorbed. So they will act locally in the gut. They will not pass through the gut barrier and be taken up into the bloodstream.
That's so important to outline, because I do know a lot of people who will go and research this, and it can get confusing, especially if you're not, like, I'm not a chemist. I did take chemistry and I needed a tutor, Eric. It's not my forte, let me just say. So I'm glad that you clarified that, because safety for me is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
I don't want to take something that's going to cause me issues down the road. So let's get into efficacy. And you did mention lipase. You mentioned a couple of the enzymes. So I just want to understand, does this increase those enzymes? Like, I take digestive enzymes anyway.
Right.
It's not the same thing as taking digestive enzymes.
No.
Okay, can you explain that, please? Because I do know, Eric, I'm going to say, so I do know, and I'm not going to name any names, of some companies that are out there. They are claiming that they will lower glucose, and they're basically just a bunch of enzymes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I've been taking enzymes forever. Because when I start to have thyroid issues, I start to have digestive issues, which is very common. They do go hand in hand. And I'm like, that didn't help me. So, you know, please explain that little component a bit clearer so we understand.
Right. Absolutely. So, I mean, first of all, I would like to say there are certain cases, right, where people actually, they are in need of digestive enzymes. They should then take digestive enzymes, right? Most digestive enzymes, or a lot of digestive enzymes, actually focus on the breakdown of proteins and fats. There's not many products on the market would give you digestive enzymes such as amylase to help you break down carbohydrates. Because I said there are no essential carbohydrates that the body actually needs, right? But we are actually the reverse. So what we actually do is that we decrease the levels of lipase and amylase, the two digestive enzymes that break down fats and carbohydrates. And we have to think that our product is to help people that suffer from metabolic disease. And many times we have one of the major factors when it comes to metabolic disease, that is people that are overweight. And for people that are overweight, they got there somehow. It's usually not because they're not consuming enough food. They're not consuming enough carbohydrates or fats. They're consuming too much food. And they need help with actually reducing the amount of calories and reducing the amount of carbohydrates that they're taking up into the body. So therefore, I mean, our product, what it actually does, it comes down into your small intestines, right? And the digestive enzymes, they get entrapped within these particles that we have specifically designed for this purpose. And what happens is that you then get a lower amount of digestive enzymes in your intestines, and you have a lower and lower breakdown of carbohydrates and fats, which means that your blood sugar spikes following a meal or lipid spikes following a meal will get lower. And what that means is that the body doesn't need to put out as much insulin as it usually needs, and that's a good thing. And it also means that you will not have the really high blood sugar spikes and the crashes afterwards. So it means that you will get a more stable energy level over the day. You don't get the crashes, right? So you don't get the urge of snacking either. You feel full for a longer time. We have seen great results when it comes to lowering blood sugar levels, postprandial blood sugar levels. So that's blood sugar levels following a meal, which then over time, if you consume our product over time, this will translate to lower HbA1c levels over an extended time period, right? And we also decrease the lipid levels. And this together, well, what that does is that it actually lowers the total amount of calorie uptake, and that helps people lose weight.
So should I still be taking my digestive enzymes with it?
I do think you should.
Because I know. I have, you know, you don't know my individualized, like you don't know my issues, but like I take hydrochloric acid as well. I take both because I have low stomach acid. And I'm sure you know that, because I learned that in chemistry, Eric, that without stomach acid, you cannot digest and assimilate all the amino acids from the proteins that you're eating, right? That's chemistry 101. Right. See, I retained something.
Yes. I mean, that is very common in today's society.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go into that too much.
Yeah.
But many of the reasons why people are not having enough digestive enzymes is because they're not consuming enough sodium. But that's another thing. Let's not go into that.
Okay.
So digestive enzymes, you're probably looking at peptidase. The digestive enzymes that break down proteins. And that's also why you're taking additional HCL, right? Because you want to digest the proteins.
Mm-hmm.
Our product does not absorb proteases, the enzymes that break down proteins. And this is really important because you don't want to affect those enzymes.
Right.
Because you want to be able to absorb as much amino acids as possible. And this relates to what we've been talking about before, right?
Yeah.
Keeping as much muscle mass as possible, specifically in an older population. So we only affect the two digestive enzymes that break down carbohydrates and fats. So if you're not consuming any type of digestive enzymes that specifically for some reason would be amylase or lipase, I would not worry about consuming digestive enzymes together with our product. So we won't affect any type of proteases. So
okay.
And you can consume them together.
Okay. Okay. Let's get into the studies, because there was a study that I saw, and that immediately, like, the alarm bells were going off. Like, I got to talk to these guys. No, in a good way. When I saw, I think there was a study with comparing with metformin. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So, I mean, we have done, for our medical device, right? We have done 4 studies. So when you develop a medical device, you have to start doing, well, we start with animal studies, of course. We see that it's safe in animals, that it has an effect in animals. Then you move on to humans, right? And we did a first study, this was back in 2015, in a healthy population. Or to be honest, it's an obese but healthy population. So they didn't have any disturbance when it came to their blood sugar levels.
Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet, right? Very true.
Yeah. Right.
But in that study, we did see really nice effects on lowering of HbA1c. So we saw lowering over a 3-month period of 1.7 millimoles per mole in HbA1c. We saw a lowering in weight, and we saw a lowering of LDL cholesterol. So that, you have to think, this is done in a healthy population. So to actually see this in a healthy population, that means a lot. So in our next study, we went into a sicker population, pre-diabetics and newly diagnosed type 2 diabetics. I would say it's drug-naive type 2 diabetics. That means that they're not taking any type of medication for their type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
And this was also a 3-month-long study. And in this study, we could confirm what we have seen in the healthy population, right? A very nice lowering of HbA1c over a 3-month period. We did see a weight loss, and we did see a loss of your hip measurements, right? Or not, waist measurements, with a little bit more than a centimeter. And this is just a 3-month study. So this is very exciting, right? And now we're actually doing our 3rd clinical study. It's actually the biggest study globally done in a pre-diabetic population. And here we're looking at HbA1c levels after a 3-month period. We're looking at weight loss. We're looking at gut microbiome and so on and so forth. But what you saw is, what we did is we compared the effects of our product compared to other products on the market, right? And there's not very much on the market, sadly, today for pre-diabetics. But as I said, we have been comparing with metformin because there's a study that's been going on for 15 years now where they have given metformin to pre-diabetics, right? And what they have seen is that they had a lowering of HbA1c levels over a 6-month period with 0.6 millimoles per mole. And as I said before, we saw a lowering of 1.44 millimoles per mole in our study in 3 months, which means that in a pre-diabetic population, right, our product is twice as effective in half the time compared to metformin, which is a classified drug. And we are a supplement and a medical device with a much better safety profile.
That is, okay, so let's get into that. So I know that the recommended dose is 2 capsules per lunch and per dinner with a large glass of water.
Yeah.
So I know the correct me if I'm wrong, the only contraindication is constipation if you don't take in enough water. Is that the only, like, are there any other contraindications?
So in the study that, or the two studies that we have done in a healthy population, a pre-diabetic and type 2 diabetic population, what we did see is some people having a little bit of bloating, and then we saw constipation.
Yeah.
That are the two side effects that we could see. The thing is that what we say and what we recommend, right, is that together with the product, you need to consume at least 250 milliliters of water, which is a normal glass of water. And this is some, or let's say a lot of people, they don't follow the instructions. So they don't consume the water. And that's when you can end up with constipation.
Yeah.
So we usually compare our product to fibers. If you start increasing the fibers in your diet, you need to drink more water because fibers absorb some of the water in your intestines, right? And the same thing goes with our product. It actually absorbs some water. And that's why if you're not consuming the additional water together with the product, you could suffer from mild constipations.
Okay. So that was the side effect that I read about. I said contraindications, but contraindications mean anybody who shouldn't take it. Like, are there contraindications?
So what we can't account for is nothing, is things we haven't studied, right?
Yeah.
So people that are on other types of medications, right? They should consult with their doctor before they take our product. And what we say is because we haven't done, a study where we actually take our product together with a lot of different medications.
Yeah.
So we usually say that our product should be taken separately. I mean, before or after any other type of medication with 2 hours. So, I mean, when you take your drugs for your thyroid, right? It's actually important that you don't take them together with a meal. Specifically
yeah.
a meal that contains calcium, right?
Yes, that's
because they interfere.
Exactly. Because I people think I'm crazy, Eric, but I get up at briefly get up at 4, take my thyroid medication so I can get up and have my coffee with my cream without having to worry about anything. I just don't need anything to interfere with my thyroid meds absorption. So I totally get where you're coming from. And then I guess it would also make sense that if you are already on like metformin or any kind of glucose lowering medication, you better talk to your doctor, right?
Yes. I would say any type of medication that you're taking, I would recommend that you always start by talking to your doctor.
Yeah.
That is super important. We have done studies when it comes to metformin, and we don't see any type of interaction between our product and metformin.
Mm.
And this is something that we will look into more in the future. We will be looking into the interaction of our supplement and our medical device with several types of drugs in the future. But at the moment, we have not done that. So that's why we always say, separate our product from other types of drugs that you're taking with 2 hours.
Okay. And then in terms of, do you have to take 4 capsules or can you take 2 or like, does it, that's a question I have because I don't eat a lot of, I call them just empty carbs, but of course there are times like, you know, over Christmas I was having dessert and I'm not going to not partake in family celebratory meals because of severe restriction. I don't believe in that. I believe in balance in life. So those are the times I absolutely would take it. Should I still be taking four a day no matter what? Because I do eat carbs. I eat carbs from vegetables and I eat carbs from other sources.
Right. So, I mean, I would say that that is goal dependent. It's dependent on what type of goals that you want to fulfill. Of course, if you take it with every meal that you eat, say, if you take two capsules in the morning, two capsules in the at lunch, and two capsules in the evening, you will have a higher effect. Absolutely.
Okay.
But it's not necessary. I mean, as you said, maybe you're going out with the girlfriends, right? You know that you will be eating a big bowl of pasta or something. Just taking side port together with that meal will have a beneficial effect.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right, right.
So, I mean, it could be something that you take when you know or feel like you wanted to do a little bit of cheating, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
And then you incorporate that. So that cheat meal, I'm not saying it will become healthy, but it will become healthier.
Your body's just going to be able to handle it more, especially for somebody like myself who I know that I have a weakness there. I have to be careful. If I at one point got to that level of 6.1, I can get there again. And it can probably happen pretty quickly. And what about long-term use? Like, how long can I be on this? Indefinitely?
Well, so, I mean, I want to be a little bit careful here.
Okay.
When I answer this question. And I would really only like to claim what we have seen in our clinical studies. And our clinical studies have been over a 3 months period, right?
Okay.
So people have been taking this for 3 months, and that goes for the supplement and it goes for the medical device. What I want to say, the main difference between the supplement and medical device is the dose. So the medical device has a 3 times higher dose compared to the supplement. But we have not seen any type of health issues over a 3 months period, right? So that is what we can guarantee. We can say that you can definitely take it in 3 month cycles, then rest for a while, and then begin a new 3 month cycle.
Okay.
But if we look at silicon dioxide, which our product is made of, and we look at recommendations from EFSA, and we look at recommendations from the FDA, right? There, they allow an intake of silicon dioxide up to 1.5 grams a day. And this is what our supplement contains, a little bit lower than 1.5 grams a day. And you can take that over a lifetime and you won't have a problem, right?
Okay.
So according to EFSA and according to FDA, you can consume 1.5 grams of silicon dioxide daily for your entire life without being need to worry, right? But our studies have been done for 3 months. So that's the only thing we're claiming at the moment. But we will be expanding that in the future because we're planning trials that are longer than 3 months right now.
Okay. And four capsules are 1.5 grams. Is that right?
It's a little bit less than 1.5 grams.
A little bit less. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. And you know, I'm personally a big fan of pulsing things in and out too.
Yeah.
Depending on what it is. Depends on what it is. That's really, really good to know. And can you just clarify, you said medical device versus, and you said it's a 3 times, it's the actual product is the same, but it's a 3 times higher dose. Am I understanding that right?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So what we have is what you're showing here, right? So we have our glucose stabilizer, which is our supplement, right?
Yeah.
And that is now launched on the US market and in the UK. And this is 1.5, let's say it's 1.5 grams, right? The daily dose of that. Then we have our medical device, which is now in clinical studies. And as I told you, the largest clinical study in the world on pre-diabetics and type 2 diabetics. And that comes as a stick pack. And this stick pack contains a very nice gel that has the flavor of peach, very mild flavor of peach. So it doesn't interfere with your meals because it should be taken together with your meals, right? And this medical device is more or less, the mode of action is the same, but it has a 3 times higher dose. So the effect is higher. And this is a product that we will be sold as a medical device, most likely recommended by physicians. So your doctor in the future.
Okay.
But there is a little bit of time until that will be released on the market.
Okay. That's really great to know. One other thing I want to note, because I've been taking this myself for a while, mm-hmm. is that I'm not as hungry between lunch and dinner. And then right. like the one thing, so I'm a big believer in not snacking. I think yeah. we eat too much too often as humans. And I believe in 3 meals a day. I believe in a little mini fast overnight, you know, where I'm not yeah. eating for 12 hours to allow the body to rest. Because guess what, Eric? When I was doing more intermittent fasting, that's when I became a pre-diabetic. Crazy, right?
What? Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm telling you. So I was doing more, you know, like, I don't know. I wouldn't eat until 11 in the morning, that sort of thing. Right. I would eat only lunch and dinner, but I was snacking. I had that window, right?
Okay, yeah.
And so there were a few things going on. This is why I say everybody's so individualized. I was 52, kind of in the crux of, you know, menopausal symptoms. So a lot, it's like a perfect storm, right? Mm-hmm. I also yeah. don't have a thyroid, which is your master for metabolism. I don't care, you know, if I'm on the best medication, it's not the actual organ. It's gone. I don't have the master yeah. gland. So it's never going to be the same. So this is why everybody's kind of got to look at individualizing their approach. And I don't listen to all of, I know you're a guy, but I, yeah. and I'm not trying to insult you, Eric, at all, but you know, I call it the maniverse of longevity, where it's all men who are talking about a lot of these big things like fast this way and do this. I'm like, no, not applicable for a woman my age. You got to do whatever works for you. I mean, maybe it will work, but for me, it didn't. So I am beyond excited because the thing that I noticed, because I don't believe in snacking, and that's what saved me, is not snacking. Water, yeah. water between meals, or electrolytes, like you were saying, right. sodium. So I started doing sublingually a little pinch of sea salt under my tongue. Yes. With every normal glass of water. So people stop carrying around those giant 2-liter bottles, jugs of water and not taking in any electrolytes, right? Because you, like from a chemist point of view, like you're flooding your cells when you don't have the right amount of minerals and electrolytes, right?
No, I think that's something that you're bringing up now is super important, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people think that it's only consuming a lot of water, right? But if you consume water without consuming the electrolytes, what it actually does is that it's driving out water from your system.
Right.
So you get dehydrated. If you drink pure water, and specifically too much of pure water, you will become dehydrated. The reverse of what you actually want. Therefore, it's super important to actually have your minerals together with the water you drink.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it's important with sodium, potassium, calcium, magnesium, and zinc. Super important to get that in, right? And if we look at zinc and magnesium, it's very important for most of the functions in your body.
Yeah.
So yes.
Yeah.
You need to have your minerals together with your water.
There you go, guys. You heard it from a chemist. So he knows what he's talking about. And I, oh my God, Eric, I once I, a couple of occasions, have drank so much water that I felt nauseous. Like, you can make yourself really sick from doing that. So
absolutely.
That's just a little bonus for everybody who's listening. So tell me, what's to come from, like, what's the future look like for Sigrid? What's in the plans? I know you mentioned this new medical device. So it's just more of a potent version of the glucose stabilizer. Yeah. What else? Because I'm really excited to work with you guys. I think you guys are amazing.
So, I mean, first of all, I mean, we have our supplement, right? It's just been launched in the US and in the UK. And as you know, we've been cited in Forbes, the Daily Mail, and that has created a lot of attraction globally. We have gotten, I mean, thousands of emails asking about our glucose stabilizer and when and where they can buy it, specifically in Europe, people in Vietnam, Australia, a lot of people in Canada, I know. But, I mean, due to certain regulations, we have to be a little bit careful there.
Sure.
But one of the main things that we're working on is actually expanding our supplement to be able to actually supply this to people in Europe, Australia, and other countries globally, not just the U.S., but also expand in the U.S. Then, as I said, we have our medical device, which is now in clinical studies. This clinical study will be finished by the end of the summer, and then it needs to be CE marked, which means that to become a medical device, you have to CE mark your product. That takes roughly a year, and then we plan to actually launch this both on the US market and the European market sometime in the middle of 2025.
Wow.
So that is what we're working on, but also we, using our platform technology, we are developing a veterinary product, because that is something that we have been become aware of, specifically now during COVID, right? That a lot of people, a lot of people's pets are actually suffering a lot. They are becoming obese. So, I mean, I got shocked when I heard that, but there is a lot of obese cats and dogs, and this is a billion-dollar market, actually. So we are developing products for a veterinary product for diabetes and obesity in dogs and cats. We are also developing an oral product. And what is so interesting is that you don't only have amylase in your intestines, right? So amylase was the enzyme that breaks down carbohydrates. You actually have it in your saliva, which means that the amylase, it actually breaks down starch in your mouth. And this starch actually feeds the bacteria in your mouth. And it's this bacteria that creates caries in your mouth. So we have done a few studies on this, seeing that if you incorporate our product into a mouthwash or toothpaste, you actually have a lower development of caries in your mouth. So we are right now in discussions with some of the leading oral care companies around the globe, having a dialogue about our product and where to put it. And actually, we've seen a lot of interest from them to actually incorporate this specifically in toothpaste.
That's amazing.
So we have more or less like four legs to stand on. We have the supplement, we have the medical device, we have the veterinary product, and we have our oral care product.
That is awesome. You know, I just have to say, as soon as I switch to a more a natural toothpaste, my teeth have never been better. I'm telling you. I use all kinds of different natural toothpaste, and my teeth are like no sensitivity, no issues. So people, look into that. I think that's a great, great pathway for Sigrid.
Absolutely. And that is something that as you said, natural, right? Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of chemicals. And here you have a natural mineral that actually can, you know, lower the amount of the formation of caries, right? Which is one of the, it's a very big problem around the globe. So I'm not saying that we will be subsidizing, you know, fluoride, but definitely lower the amounts of it. So this is something that we see is very beneficial. And it is a very big interest when it comes to World Care companies.
Amazing, amazing. Okay, anything else that we didn't talk about that you want to make sure that we mention, Eric?
No, not really. I think we touched upon a lot of things
we did
during this conversation. What I would like to say is, like, if you would like to learn more about our company and our product, you can find us on the net. So it's www.sigridthx.com and then sigridstabilizer.com.
Okay, I will have that in the show notes along with my discount code. I mean, I've seen you guys are going crazy for this product. It's amazing. And I can attest, and I'll let you guys know, I will follow up on my HbA1c in 3 months' time. So I will keep you posted. Thank you so much for your time today, Eric. I really appreciate this conversation.
Thank you, Sandy. It was super nice being on your show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to share it with someone you know might benefit. And always remember, when you rate, review, subscribe, you help to support my content and help me to keep going and bringing these conversations to you each and every week. Join me next week for a new topic, new guest, new exciting conversations to help you live your best life.